The Experimental Aircraft Association's annual convention and fly-in draws more than 10,000 planes to the region. It's a 7-day event, opens on Monday, and we have a preview of it. We've kind of landed in Oshkosh, ready to talk about the EAA Air Adventure with our guest, Dick Napinski. Dick is Director of Communications for EAA Air Venture. And as we talk with him, I want to hear from you. Give us your memories from maybe previous air adventures. Let us know why maybe you go back every year. Or if it's your first time, what do you want to know? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dick Napinski, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's been a few years, Larry. It's great to be back with you. And, yep, we're getting ready for, I'd like to call it, aviation's family reunion coming up starting next Monday.
Yeah, that's great. And this has been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
It really has. It started, you know, this fly-in is Wisconsin-born and raised. It started in Milwaukee back in 1953. The organization was just about 6 months old when they had their first fly-in, attracted 21 airplanes and 150 people. And matter of fact, they all had, it's at what's now Timmerman Airport, and they all had dinner on Saturday night in the Miller Brewing Company hangar. Well, we can't do that anymore. So, but it's really grown. And last year we had 686,000 total attendance. You mentioned 10,000 plus airplanes, and people from 94 countries came to Oshkosh.
And it's amazing experience. Talk about what people are going to find when they come. Expect it. What will they expect to see and experience?
Yeah, it really is. It's a gathering of people and airplanes in one place that you'll see nowhere else on Earth. You'll have everything from one place ultralights. We have drones flying in the air, the Goodyear blimp. Well, actually, two of them will be here this year. All the way up to, it'll be a 747 on the ground. The U-2 spy plane will be here. The military always brings in some of their jets to fly in the air shows. New technology will be here. Some great vintage airplanes, the biplanes from the 1920s, and these 100-year-old aircraft that have been restored will be here. And just people from around the world who have a passion for flight. And it's in the history of Earth, it's a fairly new phenomenon. You figure we've only been at flying for less than 125 years in a powered way. And to already have reached the moon and do all these things and all this technology that allows us to get around the world is really amazing. The technology and just the innovation involved in it.
Yeah, I had a good friend who was, his hobby was restoring vintage mm-hmm. planes, and he would fly his plane to Oshkosh for every event and really, really enjoyed it. He passed away just not that long ago, but he was, it was always a lot of fun to get in the plane and ride with him, and fly with him. It was his exciting event of the year was to go to that.
You know, there is something about it because aviators, there's less than 0.5% of all the people in the country are pilots, have a pilot certificate. And so the group finds each other, and they find each other at Oshkosh. And the people you've been talking with in California and Arkansas and New Jersey, maybe online and so forth, you get to meet face-to-face and share airplane stories. And it does really become a family reunion in some ways. Our campground, I know families who have camped next to each other for 30 years and watched the children grow up, and now the grandchildren are there and they're starting to take part. And that kind of event is a culture unto itself. I think people who are enthusiasts with anything, be it Harleys or cars or boats, it's that same kind of fellowship that's in there, that there's a common bond. We often tell people that when you live someplace and you fly an airplane, you spend a lot of time telling your neighbors, why you fly, why you put money into it. Here's why it's safe, all of these type of things. Here, you don't have to explain to anybody. Everybody speaks the language, Larry, and it's just, oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. What kind of airplane do you have? How long have you had it? What are you doing with it? Where have you gone with it? Things like that. And that's part of the fun.
Yeah. And I, at one time it was, and I don't know if it's still the case, but it was the busiest airport in the U.S. or maybe the world.
The world, yep.
Mm-hmm. The busiest airport in the world for a week.
A week, it is. To give you some idea, Larry, places like O'Hare in Chicago, Hartsfield in Atlanta, they average about 2,500 takeoffs and landings every day throughout a 24-hour day. Our peak day at AirVenture is 3,300 takeoffs and landings in a 14-hour day because we're closed from 8 p.m. till 6 a.m. So if you break that all down, on an average, it's a takeoff or landing every 10 to 12 seconds on average. And there are times like this coming weekend where we will have five or six airplanes landing on runways at the same time, which is a phenomenon. It's an Oshkosh phenomenon that takes place because if you look at the runways from the air, you will see very large colored dots on the runway. And the runways are long enough that it can accommodate small aircraft two at a time. And so the air traffic controllers will tell one airplane, I need you to land on the end of the runway. And the one in front of you, they'll say, land on the green dot halfway up. And they'll put them there and they'll go off to their parking places. And they'll do that again and again and again throughout the day and do a marvelous job of getting everybody lined up and parked and ready to go for the entire week of fun.
I'm wondering about the people, the men and women who may be those air traffic controllers. That must, I mean, and they're not there year round. I mean, they're
no.
I explain that whole process.
Sure. Oshkosh for 51 weeks a year is a contract tower. They contract out to a company. There are three or four people that run the air traffic control tower. And Oshkosh really is the third busiest airport in the state behind Milwaukee and Madison because there's so much general aviation activity, non-airline activity takes place here. So it's a busy airport anyway. But the FAA takes over for the week. And what the FAA does is they ask the air traffic controllers, would you like to work Oshkosh? And what they look for are some experienced hands who've done it many times, some who maybe have done it three, four times, and then some of the rookies. And so they meld that group together. And then the supervisors pick the best air traffic controllers out of those groups. So it's an all-star crew from across the country that comes to Oshkosh to work the event. And we put eight people up in the tower at the time to keep track of everybody. But my favorite part of it, Larry, happens at a little bitty burg called Fisk, which is about 7 miles outside Oshkosh, right off of Highway 44. And it's a typical Wisconsin crossroads. It's got a church, a bar, and a fire station. And that's it. And by the fire station, they put a trailer every year. And they have three air traffic controllers there who watch the airplanes form over Ripon and Green Lake. And they say, don't talk to us unless you have an emergency. We'll talk to you. And they say, okay, blue and white Cessna, if you hear me, rock your wings. Airplane rocks its wings. Okay, what I need you to do is to get behind the White Piper, a half-mile trail, follow the railroad tracks up 2 miles away from the airport. They will pick you up. The air traffic control tower will tell you which runway to land on. Welcome to Oshkosh. And they will do that several hundred times a day. It's an amazing piece of low-tech and high-tech all working together at once.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before, so it's really interesting to hear that. And do they, do all those people who work are doing that work, you'd be frazzled at the end, I would expect, but probably exhilarated as well.
Yeah, it's a good tired by the end. I can say that for myself working the week, it's a good tired. The air traffic controller is the same thing. And they, if you work Oshkosh, you get a pink polo shirt that says, I worked Oshkosh Control Tower. And that's a badge of pride when they go back to their home air traffic control towers that say, yep, I worked the busiest airport in the world. I worked Oshkosh for a week. it's an amazing thing, Larry, because, most O'Hare, Hartsfield, Kennedy, you'll get the big airplanes, the Airbuses, the Boeing 777s, the cargo airplanes, the military aircraft. Well, here you might have the 747. followed by a Piper Cub, followed by an F-18, followed by three Beach Bonanzas, and then, you know, followed by another big airliner. And so it's a great mix of speeds and airplanes that all come together and land here at Oshkosh to be part of the show.
You know, it's really cool. And it's cool to be able to, if you're at the event, to see those planes coming in. It's a very cool event. And there are some really good shows, air shows, remarkable air shows that go on as well.
There are, Larry. What we do is we put on 9 air shows in 7 days. We have 7 afternoon air shows every single day. And then on Wednesday and Saturday night, we do a night air show. And people ask, well, what's that like? And I said, well, when you were a kid and you took a sparkler and wrote your name through the air to watch the light trail go behind it, I say, imagine doing that with an airplane, with pyrotechnics on the wingtips and so forth. And then at the same time, we'll put 600 drones up making shapes during the night air show. We'll have fireworks at the end with an aerobatic pilot flying between the fireworks. So it really is a unique event. And in the dark, you lose that reference point between the ground and the air. And so you're just kind of looking into the darkness where the pilot is doing their thing and your focus is completely on the airplane and what's happening with those aerobatic maneuvers.
It's really cool. I think Mike and Madison may have something relating a bit to it. Let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, I haven't been pre-pandemic to the Air Venture, so I'm overdue for a visit. I'm hoping to get out this year. But I just realized, I just read recently this last week, reading up on EAA, and I did not know that they had a whole RC airplane area. And I had never seen that before. I usually hang out over by the experimentals and because powered paragliders are more along my price range for flying. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the experimental aircraft, ultralight area, and what I've never heard about and is new to me is the RC airplane area.
Remote control airplane area, yep. RCA stands for, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. You know, radio control. And it is an area we started about 10 years ago, and we have it right behind the museum. And in the evening from about 6:30 till 8:30, people can bring their own radio control aircraft and their small drones and so forth. And there's a controlled area there. It's run by the Academy of Model Aeronautics, which is kind of the governing body for RC aircraft in the country. And you can fly your radio control airplane at Oshkosh and take off and fly it. And, you know, they've got people there that can help you, set up and so forth. And people get some great photos. They'll bring their little drone up and put it up in the area and get a picture of the grounds from right there because we can't fly drones throughout the grounds because there's so much air traffic there. But in this spot, every night between 6:30 and 8:30, people can bring their own and do that. We've got a few people who are happy to share. If you've never flown a radio control model before, they're there. They can, they call it a helper box, and you can, learn a little bit about how to control them. And everybody says it's like a video game. Not quite. It has a tendency when you're actually dealing with a machine up in the air, when you push that lever left, you go, oh, that's too far. Let me push it back right. Oh, that's too far too. And then, you know, then you go pick up the pieces of the radio control model after that. But it's an area that's been added with that. And, you know, as Mike said, we've got an area, we have more than 1,000 home-built aircraft that fly in from throughout the country. These people have built them from kits, sets of plans. That's their pride and joy. It's taken about 1,000 to 3,000 hours to build. And then the ultralights are aircraft that are less than 254 pounds. I kid sometimes that the pilot weighs more than the aircraft, the piece of physics I still can't figure out. But it's but they go flying. And actually, when we don't have a night air show, we have the Flight Fest every night down in the fun fly zone, as we call it. And you'll see those ultralights, short takeoff and landing airplanes and everything else operate for about 90 minutes.
Dick Nepinski, our guest today. Nick Nepinski is the Director of Communications for EAA Air Adventure in Oshkosh. Questions for him or maybe an experience to share about the Air Venture, I hope you'll join in. 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you with us for WPR News. Talking today with Dick Napinski, who is Director of Communications for EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Coming up this next week, starting on Monday, July 21st through the 27th, located at the Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. And tickets are available on the website, and that is EAA.org. EAA.org. If you want to get tickets, you can get them in advance and available on the website. We had a question from a person from Wausau emailed us. With the new inventions of flying cars and flying bikes, you need to have a sport pilot's license or private pilot license to use one in the future.
Yeah, probably, Larry. And that's a great question. You know, ever since cars and airplanes were invented a century ago, people have been trying to meld the two.
Yeah.
What happens? The engineering for a car, which is aerodynamic, hold it to the ground, all of the things you need, much different than an airplane for those aerodynamics to create lift. And so most people, when they've created them, have created a very bad airplane matched up with a very bad car. But the technology keeps going. And there have been some that have flown here in the past and have been really something to watch. But it's one of those things. The regulation, there are three things that have to happen. First, the engineering has to happen so you create something that works. Second of all, you need the regulation. Is it something that you need a pilot's license, or do you go to the DMV? Can you land on your street, or do you have to drive to an airport to take off? Those type of things that they have to work through. And finally, consumer acceptance. How many people are ready to take their car for the wings to pop out and go flying at the same time? Well, since I have a pilot certificate, I go, yeah, me, I'd do it. But it would be, you know, a lot of people go, well, I'm not quite sure about that. It's like self-driving cars. Are you ready to just let the car take you someplace? So those type of things take place. So that future is getting closer, and they're still working on it. And there are some innovations out there that are tremendous with urban air mobility right now and so forth that are actually allowing people to look at ways to fly where you simply get in and the GPS will take you where you want to go. Again, I'm not, as a pilot, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for that yet, but I like to kind of have that override capability. But the technology is developing, and we're not quite the Jetsons yet, Larry, but I think we're getting closer.
I understand that there are some opportunities that at the event that are kind of catered to women and girls who are interested in aviation. Talk about how EAA is encouraging more people to fly.
Yeah, that's a great question, because less than 10% of the pilots in the U.S. are women. And that's a number that is getting better. It was 6% about 10 years ago, but still under 10%. And we, on Wednesday, the 23rd, we have a day that features, we call it Women Venture, where women pilots, women engineers, women aviation technicians are all on the grounds. And we actually have an area where those women can congregate, can network. And also we encourage women young and old to step up. You know, young people who are looking to get in, there's not only the pilot side, but there's the engineering side, there's the technician side, there's marketing, there's finance. All of that's involved in aviation. And it's an exciting industry, to be sure, and one that's become a necessity in this day and age. So when you take a look at that, and you talk to women authors, women military pilots, women astronauts, they're all here at Air Venture to talk with and be a motivating and inspiring force in a lot of ways. In fact, we bring high school girls in for the first 3 days of Air Venture for a camp here, a day camp, and they spend time talking to these mentors about how to move ahead if this is your career. We have colleges here with aviation programs. You can talk to them and say, okay, here's what it takes to become part of that. So we're looking for ways for young people, male and female, to get involved in aviation, because there are a lot of possibilities in that industry. And it doesn't matter what gender you are or what your background is, the airplane doesn't care. And it just wants to be flown well. And it's something that is another opportunity here at Air Venture to say, yeah, come on in, join us. We'd love to share aviation, and we think it might be for you too.
Yeah, that's really, really great. Bob in Sussex has a question, I believe. Let's go there. Bob, hi.
Hi. Can you
hear me? Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, I'm interested in LSA aircraft, and I'm interested in what's going on with the with Mosaic and what impact that might have on my ability to rent other four-place airplanes like a Cessna 172.
Sure.
Do we have any new information about that?
Yeah. For your listeners there, Larry, Mosaic is a rulemaking package with the FAA and the Department of Transportation right now that would change the certification for pilots and for aircraft and would allow pilots to use their driver's license as a medical. Right now, pilots, for the most part, have to go and get a separate medical certificate unless you're a certain lower classification. This would open up more airplanes to be flown by what's called sport pilot, and allow four-place aircraft to be flown and so forth. And to the question from Bob itself, that is right now with the FAA and the Department of Transportation. We're hearing good things about it, and we keep encouraging them. You know, if you want to make an announcement in front of the pilot world here at Oshkosh next week would be a wonderful place to do it if you want a good news story. And so they're saying, yeah, you might be right. So I would tell Bob, stay tuned. I think we might have something coming down the road here in the next little while that would help out a lot of people who may be on the cusp and don't want to go through all the hassle of maintaining a medical certificate separate for pilots, but still have the ability, the capability, and the knowledge to go flying.
Joan wonders, can you take a ride in a plane at AirVenture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got some fun stuff that goes on there. We have... first of all, we have helicopters that fly throughout the entire week. The Bell helicopter is the same one that most people know from the MASH TV series. And those helicopters operate from right behind our museum. You get up there, you spend about 5 to 10 minutes up in the sky. You can take some photos of the grounds and get a bird's eye view of what's happening there. And then we also have our Ford Trimotor, a 1929 airliner, the height of luxury in 1929 airline flying, that we have some walk-up seats still available each day. And so you can catch a flight on that and go over the grounds and see what air travel was like 100 years ago and those opportunities. And we do have some people that bring their warbirds here. We operate those out of Appleton, a B-29 bomber, a B-25 Mitchell bomber from the World War II era. And there are ways to purchase flights on those, too. Those are a little pricier. I mean, you can start going from about $400 and up on that, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for those who love aviation.
Yeah. And camping, you mentioned camping. Is it too late to camp anymore? I mean, probably the sites are taken.
Oh, no, we have enough room. Matter of fact, we just expanded the campground this year. We've never run out of room in drive-in camping. We actually create a city, Larry, of 40,000 people every year who camp right here on the site, either in motorhomes and tents or next to their airplane. They'll fly in, pitch a tent next to their airplane, and that's where they'll be for the week. They'll go to the shower building, come back, hang the towel on the propeller, and go off to the flight line for the day and then come back. Yeah, come on in, go to our website at ea.org, click on AirVenture. They'll tell you all about camping, the rates. It's a three-day minimum, but you can come here and be among a lot of kindred spirits in probably the world's biggest aviation town for 1 week, because everybody talks airplanes.
And a lot of good food.
And a lot of good food. I mean, it's Wisconsin. You can get everything. You know, my favorite past year was the cheese curd taco. You know, it's a hefty meal when you have it, but it's out there. Of course, you know, people say you should have healthy options and we do, but every year we look back and say, okay, what were the three biggest sellers? Brats, cheese curds, root beer floats. Okay. A lot of people talk a good game until they're standing in line.
Oh, Dick, I mean, it is such a pleasure to talk with you. Always a pleasure. We got to get you back next year before the adventure and go over it again, because there's plenty we didn't discuss. In the meantime, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Larry. Hope to see everybody out on the flight line. It's, you know, Wisconsin's in the world's biggest fly-in convention coming next week.
Yeah, next week. And Dick Napinski telling us about it. He's Director of Communications for EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Coming up next week on Monday, all through the week, you're going to have a chance to join in. Tomorrow we got Garden Talk. Bruce Spangenberg will answer any gardening question you got, be it flowers or veggies. So we're looking forward to that. We'll also talk about growing orchids for a flower show. And want to thank you so much for joining us and our team, too. Our producers, Clara Kniper, Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Executive producer, Joe Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. And again, thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.